Chapter 18. Gavin put the fist-sized charge into the tube and began spooling out a narrow finger of green Luxin, pushing it under the waves. In the last 2 days he'd gotten pretty good at this, but he still couldn't rely on the charges, which were made of intermixed layers of yellow and red Luxin wrapped around a bubble of air. The trick was making that innermost layer improperly, in exactly the proper way. The Luxin bubble decayed, exposing the unstable yellow Luxin to air. That unstable Luxin flashed into light, igniting the red Luxin. The successive layers did the same and made an explosion big enough to clear the reefs. But handling explosives that you'd deliberately made unstable was tense work, and sometimes the charges blew as soon as they touched the reef. Other times they didn't blow up for several minutes, or at all. Karis was steadying the boat, sometimes poling, sometimes rowing. This time the explosion came before Gavin had pulled away the placement tube. The tube shot out of his hands and the sea jumped beneath their boat. Gavin had been braced for the wave, but the tube shooting up into the air pulled him off balance. He stumbled backward. Ordinarily, falling in the water would have been fine, but at the moment it was full of razor-sharp chunks of coral boiling up to the surface from the explosion. Karis snagged Gavin's belt as his foot plunged into the water. She heaved. He swung abruptly back toward the boat and swept her feet out from under her as he crashed onto the deck. Gavin rolled hard to keep from capsizing their little craft and ended up on top of Karis. He laughed. Nice catch! The look in her eyes was so intense that he thought his heart was going to stop. Get off! She hissed. Her body was rigid. He must have misinterpreted that split-second look. For a sliver of an instant he could have sworn... Sorry, he said. He pushed himself up. Good catch, he said again. Did she cling to him just for a moment there? Did her body rise with him, keeping the contact for just one moment more? He looked at her. The sun was baking the bay and had been for the last 2 days. Gavin had stripped off his shirt to cool down immediately, and after modestly sweating through the first day, Karis had followed his lead on the second, wearing only her tight blackguards chemise. The sight of her on her back, lean stomach exposed, legs on either side of him, skin radiant from golden sun and sweat, his breath stopped, thoughts scattered. He tried not to... failed. Looked at her breasts. Briefly, but she noticed. Gavin could hear his imprisoned brother's voice, sudden, sharp. So you'd take this too, huh, brother? Make love with her as if you were me? You want to hear her scream my name when she's in the throes of passion? If she were any other woman, he would force the moment to its crisis. He would kiss her right now and let her decide. She wanted to say no? Fine, to hell with her, he'd move on. Or more likely she'd say yes, and he'd bed her and leave her with a smile on her face. But leave her. At least he'd do something. Karis was the only woman who paralysed him. He remembered lying beside her in her room in her father's house, so long ago. He remembered kissing that breast, caressing her body, talking as the dawn approached. They'd made love half a dozen times through the night, urgency and passion winning through the awkwardness of inexperience. He had to be gone before her maid came to wake her in the morning. They'd both known their romance was doomed, even then, even as the children they'd been. I'll come for you, Dazen had promised. He'd come back as he'd sworn, and she'd been gone, taken away by her father, though he hadn't known it then. He'd thought she had betrayed him, and her brothers had ambushed him, and he'd started the fire that killed them all. Brothers, servants, slaves, children, treasures, hope. I've done you many wrongs, Gavin said now. He stood. And I regret every one of them. I'm sorry. He extended a hand to Karis to help her stand. He thought she was going to refuse for a moment, but then she took his hand, popped to her feet, and didn't release his hand. She stood close, but her proximity was a challenge. Do you want to specify what you're asking my pardon for? At Garriston, she'd said, I know your big secret, you asshole, and slapped him, which hadn't actually clarified that much. He'd kept a lot of secrets over the years, and whatever she thought she knew could be leagues away from the worst truth. He His central secret had necessitated all sorts of other ones over the years. And by secrets, I mean lies. So how cold are you, Gavin? How committed to your goal? You've killed for it before. Can you do it again? They were hundreds of leagues away from the nearest Chromeria spy. If Gavin told Caris the whole truth, and she swore to expose him or ruin him, he could kill her. Simple. Easy. In a fair fight, she'd have a fair chance against him. Her blackguard training had made her quite a weapon, but there was no fair fight against a prism. "I'm just sorry," Gavin said. He looked away. She didn't let go of his hand. She clamped down on it until he met her fiery gaze. "It's not an apology if you won't take responsibility. If you can't even name what you're apologizing for, you've given me nothing. You will not buy absolution on the cheap, not after what you've done. Not from me." Gavin tried to take his hand back. She refused to let go. "Let go or swim," Gavin said coldly. She let go. Damn woman. She made him so furious. More furious because she was right. Damn her. But he couldn't kill her, and he knew it. He'd let the world burn down first. She picked up the Luxon tube he'd been using to place charges and handed it to him. 5 more charges should finish the channel," she said, "but we'll have to hurry to get it done before low tide. Then we can work on the seawall footings." They worked until there was no longer enough light in the sky for Gavin to draft. Caris steadied the boat and made the forms, and made sure that they were keeping within the lines they'd planned. The seawall would actually be 3 seawalls, with 2 wide gaps, one for ships coming into the bay and one for ships leaving. The channels through the coral that led to the openings zigzagged, the turns marked by buoys. If they came under threat of attack, the locals could remove the buoys. It was going to be rough work, Gavin thought. He'd learned some things from building Brightwater Wall, but there he'd also had thousands of workers and dozens of drafters to help him. Lovely that I made such a defensible refuge for the Colour Prince. Well, second time's the charm. He would leave this for the people of Tyria, now his people, and he would do a few other things to give them a head start on establishing a city. Then he would leave. They had a small campfire, and Caris cooked some fish she'd snared while Gavin slept. She woke him, and they ate together. "Sorry," he said. "I should have helped with dinner." She looked at him like he was being stupid. "You're making the 9th wonder of the world this week. I can make dinner." "It's not really fair, is it?" Gavin said. "I couldn't do this without you. But it'll be the thing Gavin built, just like Brightwater Wall was." She shook her head. "You're a mystery to me, Lord Prism." He didn't remember falling asleep, but when he woke in the middle of the night, there was a blanket over him. He saw Caris in the low light of the fire watching the darkness. He felt an immense gratitude toward her. She'd worked hard all day long, too, and now she was staying up all night. Her back was to him and to the fire, maintaining her night vision, of course. Gavin and most sub-reds could control their eyes well enough to attain full night vision quickly, but Caris didn't like to lose even a few seconds of night vision. Gavin sat up, and was right on the edge of calling out to tell her he would take the next watch when he saw her shoulders shake. Not a shiver. She was crying. Gavin hadn't seen Caris cry in years. He knew she wouldn't be pleased to find out he'd noticed, but he stood and put his hands on her shoulders. She tensed. "I'll take this watch," he said gently. "Don't, Gavin," she said. Her voice was raw. Right at the edge. "Don't what? Don't touch her? Don't say anything? Don't leave?"
"Today was Tavos's birthday," she said,
struggling to get the words out clearly.
"I almost didn't even remember."
Tavos. Her brother. He'd died in the fire. He'd been a terrible person, violent, unstable, one of the boys whose jeering had made Dazen believe that if he didn't fight back that night, he would be killed. But Caris hadn't seen that, had maybe never seen that side of her brother. Even if she had, he'd still been her brother.
"I just miss them all so much, Koyos."
She sounded like she wanted to say more, but couldn't. Koyos had been her favourite brother. He was the only one Gavin regretted killing, the only halfway decent person among them. And then she did weep. She turned to him, and he held her. He said nothing, still not certain he wasn't dreaming the whole thing, knowing only that if he said anything, he would say the wrong thing. Bewildered as he might be, sometimes a man's highest calling is simply to stand and hug.